Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a special guest today, Dennis Camino, who never minces words. He's among the most caustic commentators of my experience. Before I bring in Dennis, however, I want to report several rather astonishing developments here politically. House Oversight Committee releases bank records on Hunter Biden payments from Russia and Kazakh officials, $20 million in payments, $20 million. Oversight Committee tweets, Biden family investigation. Today we're releasing a bank record memo detailing how the Bidens and their associate received millions from oligarchs in Russia, Kazakhstan, and Ukraine. As Hunter was sealing these deals, then VP Biden dined with these oligarchs in D.C., we've now identified $20 million in payments from foreign sources to the Bidens and their associates. During Joe Biden's vice presidency, Hunter sold him as the brand. No real services were provided other than access to the Biden network, including Joe Biden himself. Here's another tweet. On 2/14/14, Russian oligarch Yelena Batarina wired $3.5 million to a shell company associate with Hunter Biden and Devin Archer. About $1 million was transferred to Archer, and the remainder was used to initially fund a new company account, which Archer and Biden used to receive other foreign wires. Another, in spring of 2014, a Ukrainian oligarch placed Archer and Biden on the Burisma board of directors and agreed to pay each of them $1 million a year. Then Vice President Joe Biden visited Ukraine soon after they joined Burisma. Hunter claimed credit for this visit to show value. Here's Fox summary. Chairman Representative James Comer of Kentucky released a third memo Wednesday about the Biden family's foreign business dealings, producing bank records reporting to show that Hunter Biden and his business associates received millions in payments from Russian in Kazakhstan oligarchs when his father was vice president. The 19-page memo, which provides screenshots of redacted bank records, says millions in payment came from Ukrainian energy company Burisma Holdings as well as Russian oligarch Yelena Baterina, and Kazakhstan oligarch Kenis Rakashev, and that then Vice President Biden attended dinners with Baterina, Rakashev, and a representative from Burisma. Then Vice President Biden met in person for significant periods of time with those individuals or the representatives of member states. Then Vice President Biden joined approximately 20 phone calls on speakerphone with Hunter Biden's foreign business associates and attended dinner with foreign oligarchs who paid huge sum of money to Hunter Biden. Joe Biden, the brand, was the only product that Biden sold. Dennis, Joe Biden has told us many times, including during the debates, he had nothing to do with his son Hunter's business dealings. How does this add up? Your take.
Oh, boy. You know, the thing that really astonishes me, and in some ways doesn't, I mean, I can be pretty laconic about this garbage going on in the government, is that, you know, 30, 40 years ago, if this kind of stuff would have been aired out, you know, people would have been up in arms, you know, probably holding, you know, posters and, you know, signs in front of the, I call it the whorehouse, which is what it really is, demanding the removal of the puppet that's doing it. But I don't know if you...
Dennis, did we lose you? Mitchell, did we lose Dennis? Did we lose Dennis? Dennis, yeah, go ahead. We lost you there for a gap. Go ahead. You were talking about the whorehouse, and in the past, revelation like this might have led to mass protests demanding that Buffett be removed from office. But today, what, largely met with yawns?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that, I mean, I think I'm going to make a statement. I can't really verify it because I haven't taken a consensus amongst the older people, but I think that the people in the in our age bracket, you know, 60s, 70s, you know, even in some case 80 years old, we'd be more likely to have a reaction to this in a negative direction than the Gen X and Gen Y and Gen Z turkeys that are out there. That
wow, we got another interruption. Not good. Not good. Dennis, by the way, is an expert in the area of electronics. I'm sure he would understand what the hell is going on. I think he is still connected. Mitchell, Dennis still connected? I think they don't want his views to be widely known or shared during this.
Is there a reason why this is going on?
Dennis, you got dropped or interrupted again. Outrageous. You're just trying to say how the older folks would, you know, react with horror, but the younger folks are much more tolerant. Pick it up.
Yeah, I think the big amazing thing about this is that the younger generation is focused on this, on their absolving of their student loan debt, you know, and having that removed, which is nothing more than a blatant ploy to buy votes, which it'll work. I mean, you know, the Gen Y and Gen Z morons out there, they're more focused on that than the fact that their nation's imploding under mass corruption.
Wow. This is pretty damn interesting.
I'm sorry, Jim. What the?
Mitchell, I know it's not you. It's not your end. There's some sort of interference.
Let me reconnect Dennis.
Did he get dropped?
Yeah, he got he kicked him out again. Whatever.
Wow. Yeah, Dennis, go ahead. Go ahead. We're going to have to deal with this, it appears. Go ahead.
Anyway, the point I was making is that the younger generation is more focused on getting their their debt for their student loans absolved more than anything else. And they're completely willing to overlook the fact that the nation is nothing more than a very obscene banana republic that that makes banana republics blanch in comparison. You know, we're orders of magnitude beyond a banana republic at this point in time, to such an extent that the powers that be don't even try and pretend.
I know, Mitch, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Dennis is a hot commentator. What can I say? Good reason for having him on the air, but what a pain we have to go through with these constant interruptions. Have you got him back?
Yeah, they must be attacking this this connection pretty vehemently to keep us off,
yes,
keep us from having a continuous connection.
Yes.
But what I was saying is that the level of a banana republic that the untitled snakes has become is so reprehensible and stinky that, I mean, you probably would feel more comfortable going into a Chinese house of ill repute dealing with what you would probably see going on there than what you would find going on in the Beltway, specifically at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is what I call it. But the country's really in the toilet in every possible way. Financially, there's virtually no leadership. It's a rudderless ship with the kikes in control, of course, but just kind of pushing it with their fingers every now and then to keep it on the course.
We're just going to have to grin and bear it. I want Dennis' opinion, and if we have to be very patient about it, we'll be very patient about it. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, you're going to probably have a busy dialing finger here today because
the government interference,
but what I've never seen anything like this. I mean, the revelations are so amazing that that on any given day, more comes out about the strong arming of people in China and in other countries where the puppet gets it, has his son, dial the phone, and then the next thing that takes.
We'll have him back momentarily.
Telephone number 503-964-5719. Can't take your call right now.
Mitchell, you tried to call him, obviously. I think he has to call us.
I'm ringing him back, Jim.
Okay.
I even switched internet providers here, so...
Okay.
But you're not getting booted, and the studio's not getting
Telephone
kicked.
Telephone number 503-964-5719. Can't take your...
Now it says his number. He can't take his call.
Unbelievable.
But, going along the line of what Dennis had to say, when we're all in the shit house, so wouldn't it be the shit house and not the White House?
Well, he calls it the whorehouse, W-H.
Well, yeah. Pedo Central. There are legitimate crimes that are being ignored, because Nancy Pelosi used a preemptive lawfare impeachment strike.
Yeah, elaborate on that, Trump. Mitchell. You go ahead and fill in here when Dennis is missing. Go right ahead.
Telephone number 503-964-5719.
Mitchell, you just go ahead and give me your thoughts. Nancy Pelosi used a preemptive strike, you're saying.
Well, what we have seen and what we have to understand is that Barack Obama, Vice President Biden, you know, the Attorney General of the United States, Loretta Lynch, the director of the FBI, the director of Homeland Security, and the director of the CIA, all coordinated a conspiratorial coup against candidate Trump, then President-elect Trump, and then, of course, President Trump. And, you know, Jack Smith talking about, you know, the violation of the rights and all this load of bullshit about January 6th seems to think that everything that Trump is thinking nowadays and that everything is it's in a vacuum where all previous lawfare attacks on Trump never happened. And, you know, and after, you know, you are a targeted individual by, you know, the president and his cabinet and staff and the and everybody else, it's crazy. I think we can get Dennis here now.
Okay. Dennis.
There he is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's we really are getting severely interfered with.
I think
the cakes and the Kikes and Langley are having a shit fit over this one, I think. But I was just saying that I'm astonished that that the level of corruption doesn't even faze this younger generation that's solely focused on getting off the hook for their odious debt that they signed up for to get their freeform basket weaving and their stupid degrees that they spent fortune on that now in this rotten economy that's collapsing. They can't get a job even if their life depended on it. So they're bitter. Like this one person posted, he said, this is what he said. He said, "You people demand the money in the form of Social Security at the expense of youth who can't afford anything you could when you were young. As elders, you people fail magnificently." And he goes on, he goes, but I paid in it in my entire life," which is, he's quoting us. So then he elaborates and says, "So is everyone else? You clown, and you see the only one who will benefit, but you are selfish, self-centered, and have more compassion for strangers a half a world away than you do for your own children. It's pathetic." And then the answer to that was very cogently written. That sounds like a spoiled little millennium, brat demanding student loan forgiveness. And I'm sorry, I really have to agree with the commenter at the bottom that said, these guys are spoiled brats. They think that everything should be handed to them, you know, on a platter. Yes. That they don't have to earn anything. There's no repercussions for signing a contract. No matter how desperate you were to get a job or to go to school, you put your name on a line. You signed it. You should abide by the contract. You shouldn't be looking for a senile, desiccated corpse in the whorehouse to absolve you of that to buy your votes, you know. But like I said, I'm astonished that we are where we are. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this in your life? I mean, truly, I'm asking.
No, Dennis, it's absolutely stunning and outrageous. Yeah, I agree completely.
You know, and it's a divisor. They're driving a huge, massive wedge right down through the center of society. In every single way. In other words, they stage hoaxes like the George Floyd hoax and the Waukesha hoax and, you know, the Cleveland hoax before that and Sandy hoax and all these hoaxes. And they have multitudinous purposes other than to get the guns. They also have a very potent method of fighting the population against it in a way where the minute you analyze something and point out the absurdity, you know, such as with JFK's assassin standing in the doorway at the book depository at Dallas, you know, when the shots are coming. I mean, how much more absurd can it possibly get? I mean, there's no way in hell that Lee Harvey Oswald could have possibly fired any kind of a weapon when the two Secret Service agents standing on the limo are looking right directly at him, because their thought and their minds are going, "Oh my God, the patsy is not in his position." You know, or at least he can't, you know, he's blatantly right in the public view here where he's going to foul up the whole thing. I mean, 60 years of this, Jim, 60 years of PSYOP after PSYOP after PSYOP.
Yes.
What they've done is they've rendered population that's basically nothing more than idiots and morons onto just a senseless mob that's more interested in going after each other's jugular vein and choking each other to death rather than going after the people that are destroying the nation right out from underneath us. 60
yeah.
years of it. 60
yeah.
friggin' years of it. You know, and I see no end to it. I just had a hearing with the Veterans Administration just yesterday, and it was such a poop show relative to it being so one-sided, even though I had an attorney representing me as a third party. These people, and this woman was in Washington, D.C., pontificating to me what I was going to do. And I said, no, 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 no. You don't understand. I'm not going to fall for this crap any longer. I use vernacular like that. There's no way in hell I'm going to do, you know, demeaning that I go to another veterans facility for another fake evaluation so they can deny my claim. This has been going on with me for 10 fucking years, pardon my French. But there is no facet of the U.S. federal apparatus that is functional today other than the part that sends the money to the military-industrial complex and spends $200 billion to ship money to this money laundering operation in Ukraine, which is Khazaria 2.0, which is falling on its butt. You know, but I've just never seen anything quite like this. I mean, it's the everyday life in America is so surreal and so amazingly bizarre and so strange to me that I feel like a space alien on this planet. I mean, I can't believe where we have now descended to, and people don't seem to have any kind of a problem with it. I don't really, I look at comments all day long in the different venues online. Nobody seems to be really concerned with the fact that the corruption level in the United States, the United Snakes of America, as I call it, is so endemic and so pervasive that for all practical purposes, we don't have a government. We have a cabal, and we've had one for 60 years. It's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And all the powers that be do is they dictate to the moron sheeple what kind of gruel they're going to eat next, you know, and they take away more and more civil liberties and rights without any bleeding. I mean, people are just, fine, you know, take away the First Amendment. You know, with this Trump thing that's going on right now, these kike judges that are set up to adjudicate this crap, they're attempting to take away, you know, Trump's First Amendment privileges of being able to freely speak about his case. I mean, if I were him, I'd just keep my mouth shut, but he's entitled to say anything he pleases. And as a matter of fact, during discovery, if they provide his side of the fence with damaging evidence about corruption, he should be able to air that out completely without any restrictions whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely right.
To suppress this.
In fact, that leads me to the second story I wanted to present and get your views about. Now we have proof. The Gateway Pundit exclusive, massive 2020 voter fraud uncovered in Michigan. Police find tens of thousands of fake registration, bags of prepaid gift cards, guns with silencers, burner phones, Democrat-funded organization with multiple temporary facilities in several states. Mitchell, you can kill the break, by the way. An exclusive Gateway Pundit report. Special thanks for those who contributed. On October 8, 2020, only 1 month before the 2020 general election, Muskegon, Michigan city clerk N. Meisch noticed that a black female whose name was redacted from the police report dropping off between 8,000 and 10,000 completed voter registration applications at the city clerk's office. The Muskegon Police Department was contacted and asked to investigate. On 10-21-20, First Lieutenant Mike Anderson was contacted by Tom Fabus, Chief of Investigation for Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel's office, According to the Michigan State Police report, Mr. Pappas asked for Michigan State Police assistance with a joint investigation of alleged voter fraud being conducted by the Muskegon Police Department and the AG. An investigative task force was formed and an investigation was initiated. The following is from the Michigan State Police report. On 10-16-20, Muskegon City Clerk Ann Meisch and Deputy Clerk Kimberly Hunt contacted the Muskegon Police Department after noticing irregularities in voter registration application received both in person and by mail. The Muskegon City Clerk became suspicious when the female, whose name is redacted in the first part of the police report, but then later is unredacted, hand-delivered thousands of voter registrations to her office, many of them in the same handwriting. On 10-2020, deadline day for in-person voter registration applications, the suspect returned to the Muskegon City Clerk's office to deliver additional registration forms in person. Meisch estimated that suspect brought an additional 2,500 forms. Meisch contacted the Muskegon Police Department and Detective Logan Anderson and Captain Sean Bride conducted a non-custodial interview with a suspect, meaning he didn't take her into custody, he simply questioned her. Meisch stated in her opinion a quantity of the voter registration form were highly suspicious and possibly fraudulent. I mean, think about it. When they're all in the same handwriting and all that, they're not just possibly fraudulent or probably fraudulent. They're provably fraudulent. Meisch's opinion was based on the fact that numerous forms appear to have been completed by the same writer, and upon initial examination, addresses on multiple forms were invalid or non-existent. Meisch investigated further, found phone numbers on multiple forms were erroneous. Signatures on multiple forms didn't appear to match signatures on file with the Department of the Secretary of State. Examples included, those addresses do not exist in the Muskegon City housing numbering system. Another form listed 80W Southern Avenue, the address for the Muskegon High School, clearly not a residence. Later in the report, the name of the female suspect was unredacted. The Michigan State Police investigator assigned to the case spoke with a female suspect who explained she was being paid $1,150 a week, $1,150 a week. So that's, you know, not quite $5,000 a month to find unregistered voters. To find unregistered voters and provide them with a form so they can get registered to vote or abstain or obtain their absentee ballot. The only problem is the handwriting on the voter registration was the same on several of the registration and many of the addresses were non-existent or fake. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, who is currently attempting to prosecute 15 senior citizens, and the former Michigan GOP co-chair for casting an alternative set of electoral votes in the 2020 election. In other words, guess whose side she's on? Asked the Michigan State Police to join the Muskegon Police and AG's investigation of the potentially massive multi-city voter fraud operation. Two members of AG Dana Nessel's criminal investigation division were assigned to the operation, yet curiously, she failed to mention the investigation to the public. To this day, Dana Nessel is still claiming there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud in Michigan, despite the fact that she knew her office and the office of her friend, Michigan's crooked Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, were involved with the Michigan State Police in a large-scale investigation that took place across the state before it was taken over by the FBI. Think how secure you can be when it's taken over by the FBI. Corey Ames, a Michigan Secretary of State analyst, confirmed a quantity of the forms they found in their investigation are clearly fraudulent. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson also claimed there was no widespread voter fraud in Michigan and neglected to mention the investigation. Today, the Gateway Pundit and our close friends from Michigan are exposing this damning report. The evidence from this investigation exposes criminal election fraud involving thousands of fraudulent ballots in Michigan by an organization that set temporary offices in several swing states prior to the 2020 election. This explosive investigation was covered up and buried from the public until today. Dennis, your thoughts?
You know, I don't know if you really recall the dynamics of the PSYOP that they ran when some of this stuff was starting to become evident in the state of Michigan, where they staged the fake, militia BS, you know, where they were trying to kidnap the governor and then execute her. This is a typical Department of Just Us, as in just us, as in them, PSYOP, to countervail what they were pulling with this fraud. You know, and whenever, you know, you hear the denials and stuff, it's another case of the Shakespearean phrase of the lady doth protest too much. You know, whenever you know that you're really over the target, that's where the flak is the heaviest, and that's where the subterfuge and the PSYOPs come out of the woodwork to make it look like it's all, you know, a bunch of conjecture and a bunch of BS. But, you know, in retrospect, when I look back at the numbers, and they're everybody posts them daily in different commentary, there's no way on this planet, under any circumstances, that 81 million MFs in this stupid moron country were that stupid to go cast a ballot for this desiccated Iraqi kike corpse that is now in the whorehouse. I mean, let's get real here. There's no way on this planet that happened. It's impossible. I mean, at the best, he might have probably garnered 10 million votes in the aggregate, mostly from dead people. Couldn't possibly fog a mirror. You know, there's no way on this earth that anybody's going to convince me now, in the year 2023, that they didn't absolutely, totally 150% rig this last election. But they've been doing this for a very long time. You know, Bush did it and took it away, in 2000. And I predicted that to a bunch of people. They were all excited and all thinking that there was going to be a difference. But I said, you just wait and see. They'll stage something. And indeed they did. They got the scrotumus, as I call it, to weigh in and say, nope, we're going to stop the vote counting because there's protest, you know, which was BS. They pulled the same crap in 2004 with John Kerry, completely ripped that election off in the dead of night, just like they always do, where miraculously the next day, what everybody sees is a complete, you know, tsunami wave in the other direction, which is virtually impossible based on all the trending that you saw the night before. So time after time after time after time, the idiot morons in this country accept this crap as reality, but there's no way on this VD planet, and I'm going to try and curb my enthusiasm a little bit, that any 81 million people in this country voted for this dead, desiccated, kike son of a bitch that's in the whorehouse. I'm sorry. It didn't happen. It's bullshit, and I'm not believing it for a fucking second. But you go ahead.
Yeah, no, I get it, Dennis. I get it. I get it. I get it. You mentioned about the judge. Here's a report. Tanya Chutkan, who is a judge overseeing Trump's 2020 election probe case, and there's so much wrong with this. The claim is that Trump committed an offense by making declarations of the theft of an election. Jonathan Turley has ripped that one up. The Supreme Court has explained that even false speech, even deliberate false speech, meaning even lies, are constitutionally protected. So it appears this guy has no case whatsoever. On the other hand, I believe Trump is being set up. Here is some reason to think so. Listen, this brief take about the judge, and I'll play it twice.
This judge, you just said, needs to recuse herself. Can you illuminate for our audience why? She was a lawyer at Boies Schiller when Hunter Biden was of counsel there. She was a lawyer at Boies Schiller when Boies Schiller represented Burisma. That's not even the center stage. This is reserved nosebleed stuff. She and Boies Schiller represented Fusion GPS. Same corrupt government gangster affiliated firm that concocted the Steele dossier and paid through the FBI to lie to a federal court to surveil Donald Trump on the original sin unlawfully Russiagate. This is why she cannot preside over the Donald Trump indictment. The original case in the matter is Russiagate. It always goes back to it. And her firm has represented that. But she made a misrepresentation to us.
That is absolutely bombshell stuff.
Listen to that, Dennis. The judge here is overseeing. She's not only the hard ass who sentenced a whole lot of January 6th sentences even greater than the prosecution had requested, and we'll return to January 6th, but she was deeply involved with Fusion GPS and all the Russiagate horseshit in the past. How can she be in the position of presiding over this trial? Here it is again.
This judge, you just said, needs to recuse herself. Can you illuminate for our audience why?
She was a lawyer at Boies Schiller when Hunter Biden was of counsel there. She was a lawyer at Boies Schiller when Boies Schiller represented Burisma. That's not even the center stage. This is reserved nosebleed stuff. She and Boies Schiller represented Fusion GPS. Same corrupt government gangster affiliated firm that concocted the Steele dossier and paid through the FBI to lie to a federal court to surveil Donald Trump on the original sin unlawfully Russiagate. This is why she cannot preside over the Donald Trump indictment. The original case in the matter is Russiagate. It always goes back to it. And her firm has represented that. But she made a misrepresentation to us.
That is absolutely bombshell stuff.
Dennis, does anything here surprise you? I mean, it's unreal.
Oh, no. I mean, this is, you know, what they're doing is they're setting the stage for the 2024 PSYOP of all PSYOPs. In other words, it's going to be such a gigantic screw story. I won't use the other word. But there'll be so much contention that nobody will have a clue in any fashion, in any way, what reality was, because it's going to be spun, you know, six ways from Sunday, that that somehow Trump, you know, managed to with his, you know, MAGA followers, counter rigged the thing, so he won on quickly and above and beyond any possible assessment in any other direction, and the other side will claim beyond any reasonable doubt that somehow or another the MAGA machine rigged the vote and stole the election from the desiccated corpse that really isn't fit to be the dog catcher, you know, 30 years ago, let alone today in 2023. But really, let's get real here. Most of this is really, if you don't mind me taking it to the next level, the whole thing is just a gigantic dog and pony show, or a better term for it is bread and circuses, because it really doesn't matter which of these puppets gets anointed, because everything's run out of Langley, Virginia, at the George W. Bush or H.W. Bush Center, which is CIA. That's where all the strings are pulled, and probably some out of Waddesdon in London, the western suburb there, not far from where I used to live, And to be quite frank about it, probably even, I call it smell a fart, which is Tel Aviv. Those are the decision-making centers, you know. It has nothing whatsoever to do with who occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Really, it doesn't. I mean, they're totally controlled. Just like if you look, harken back to the inauguration of Donald Trump, there was a brief period of time there when he and I call him O'Negro, you know, the ineligible puppet that they installed, you know, who was a CIA boy and some FBI boys, and he completely had no eligibility whatsoever. He took Trump aside and showed him on his tablet or his phone nice, clear, color copies, pictures of JFK's head blown up on the autopsy table. Because after this little tete-a-tete with O'Negro, the next thing you see is a Donald Trump who's so ashen and white he looks like Casper the friggin' ghost. You know, so whatever it was that O'Negro showed him reminded him exactly who was really in charge. So I don't see how anybody in the whorehouse is going to change anything when they know damn well if they step out of line, even one iota, they'll get the JFK movement, because the CIA got away with that murder, you know, 60 years ago. There's no call today to go back and revisit it, even though we've proven that Lee Harvey Oswald is standing in the doorway of the Texas School Book Depository, completely out of the picture. Couldn't possibly have shot anything. And yet he was hung out to dry and then summarily killed, not by Jacob Rubenstein, who didn't actually shoot him, but by somebody sticking a screwdriver or an ice pick in his skull in the ambulance, because it convinced them to go along with the ruse in the DPD garage to get out of there, and they were going to help him get away. You know, he trusted them enough to go along with the ruse. All these years, 60 years later, virtually none of this crap that we see on the Talmud Vision, hear from the radio, watch even on social media or any of the other media online, really bears any direct connection with absolute total reality. It's all BS. I mean, I get to the point now where I can't even look at social media or any of the other crap on JuLube, as I call it, because it's a very subtle way of planting 10% crap in the cake and making you eat a poop cake, you know, which is, it's poison. It's well, I mean, if they sprinkle a little bit of truth in there and it's, you know, ostensibly known to be really a bunch of lies, but there is some truth content, it has a psychological effect to get you to probably at least store it in your feeble little mind and take it at a higher value than what it should ever be considered for. So I think we're looking at the setup for the 2024 Fandango, which is going to really be a trigger of created, not real, but created unrest based on the predication that the whole election was a fraud and that the Republicans this time rigged it to overwhelmingly beat the desiccated Jew corpse that's in the whorehouse today. That's what we're getting ready to do. That's what I see coming, and I'd like your take on that.
They're going to claim the Republicans rigged the election. Dennis, listen. The evidence that Trump won a tremendous victory is simply overwhelming. I have a friend who had a report yesterday of a Mike Lindell calculation that showed Trump had actually got like 103 million, Biden 37. And I agree with you that anyone who was voting for Biden simply didn't have a clue. But then there are a lot of Americans who just do not have a clue. So I don't find it extraordinary to think he could have got 37 million votes. I find in the cases where they're promoting the biggest lies, they are most ferocious in defending those lies. And, you know, it's all ridiculous. Trump would, if we had anything resembling an honest election, win another overwhelming victory. In fact, that, of course, was 2020. In 2022, they stole the election again. James Carville even tacitly acknowledged that the Democrats had taken 57 seats in the House that the Republicans had won, blaming it on Trump as though the public weren't wildly enthusiastic, even though he's flawed. He's the only guy on the scene who can do anything to benefit the nation and get us back on our feet again, as I see it. So, you know, Dennis, just factor that in and give me a recap of how you want to fashion the argument.
Oh, well, I mean, I agree with you. You know, I can't take any umbrage with what you just said. But the point that I was making is that they sold the January 6th PSYOP as reality. They even faked the deaths of cops that never existed, that were crisis actors.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was about a week and a half later, some black guy who didn't really exist rams his car into a barrier and then you know, allegedly he stabbed a cop to death, but there's no video of any of this. Of all the parts of the earth that's going to have cameras up the yin-yang, there would have been probably at least 47 friggin' cameras that showed the whole entire thing go down, but not one. Just like the attack on the Pentagram by the missile, the AGM-165 Maverick, fired from the Global Hawk that blew the building up. The reinforced portion of the building that was preset to take the hit months in advance. I mean, the January 6th thing was so obviously completely a contrived event that, you know, only a moron can believe that that was an insurrection. It was absolutely staged, you know, with FBI and every agency in the government involved in some fashion. And the wrongful imprisonment of these people that went there ostensibly to really just protest and not destroy anything, I think is just another canard to further unequivocally across the board completely take away everybody's rights to protest, which is what the Jews have to do to submit, to make the public submit to complete tyranny. You know, the January 6th thing was completely, absolutely 150% fabricated. You know, I don't even believe that this Ashley Babbitt person actually was killed there. I don't believe any of what they showed us. I mean, I you know, the theatrics of people climbing the walls outside and all that crap, you know, that didn't impress me. What did impress me is how completely they got the moron American sheeple to buy into it being an insurrection. It was not. So if they're willing to go to this extreme, you know, unction to stage this crap, how much further do they have to go to in the 2024 election claim that an overwhelming win by Donald Trump was done because the Republicans somehow managed to manipulate the vote? That's what's going to happen. I see that crystal clear. You just wait till the votes are counted in that election, and Trump is the overwhelming winner if he's allowed to run, because that's what I think will happen. Is that he'll not only obliterate this desiccated Jew corpse, but he'll mop up the floor with them. And then they'll have to spin it that somehow or another all these MAGA guys somehow managed to be computer hackers and super competent to the where they could rig the vote to put Trump in. But for the most part, it's all going to be just a gigantic psyop anyway to completely further erode everybody's faith in elections. But what's going to be the biggest outcome of the coming election in 2024 is it'll totally, totally obliterate the public's faith in having an election in the first place. In other words, it will so disenfranchise most of the people in this country that from 2024 on, if we even exist as a republic, will anybody bother to go to the ballot box after the crap they're about to pull on us next? I really don't think so. I mean, this is going to be the cherry on top of the whipped cream here of psyops that they're going to pull in 2024 to try and portray it that somehow poor, competent, desiccated corpse Biden, or bidet boy as I call him, got ripped off by the Republicans, which is absurd. Because even in the worst day, the people that still support Trump overwhelmingly support him in a fashion that completely blows away the support for this piece of crap that's in the White House now, the whorehouse. So that's what I see coming. I see a giant, you know, divide and conquer tool to pit the American people against each other, put them at each other's throats because of an alleged rigged election that's going to happen in 2024. That's what's coming down the pike. It's going to be the last wedge they drive between the American people before a potential civil war erupts.
Well, that's pretty damn interesting, Dennis. Here's a report from a former Capitol police officer who says every police officer and demonstrator was set up on January 6th. Former Lieutenant Tarek Johnson, who was on duty January 6th, took to Twitter, wrote that both police and demonstrators were set up on Jan 6th. He wrote, every demonstrator and every police officer there on J6 was set up. This is why I say all the officers and demonstrators need to call a truce and focus on Pittman's failures, Pittman having been the assistant Capitol Police director. He continued,
USCP, the U.S. Capitol Police Chief J. Thomas Manger, is protecting Pittman like a lion protects her cubs, even after all the death and destruction Pittman's actions caused on January 6th. And Tariq himself happens to be a black guy. Every demonstrator. Breaking news. Former U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Tariq Johnson just revealed that every police officer at the January 6th was set up and reveals that Ashley Babbitt's murderer is being protected. Now, I agree with you, Dennis. I looked at the video and all that. Ashley Babbitt wasn't shot and killed. It was totally fake. She certainly didn't pose a threat to the officer who reportedly shot her. They were all set up. The crowd didn't even react as though there'd been a shooting. They took it all as in the course of events. She fell backward, but does not appear to have been hit. There was a little packet of blood that appears to have been passed to her. I mean, I see all this in the videos I've scrutinized. And then she wasn't treated as though she were actually injured. None of it was done in accordance with any kind of protocol. So I agree with you that shooting itself was fake. Here's more from Tariq. Every demonstrator and every police officer there on January 6th was set up. USCP Chief J. Thomas Manger is protecting Pittman like a lion protects her cubs, even after all the death and destruction Pittman action caused on January 6th. Manger is effectively spitting in the eyes of everyone there that day, to include the families of Officer Brian Sicknick, who, by the way, died from separate causes, and Ashley Babbitt. And the sad part is he won't even provide a handkerchief. Same on you, sir. But I still pray God has mercy on your soul. He later would double down on his statements. He was previously interviewed by Tucker. Tucker Carlson sat down with former Capitol Police officer ignored by the House January 6th Select Committee, despite a pivotal role he had that day. Tariq Johnson, a 22-year veteran on the Capitol Hill Force, was tasked with securing the certification of the 2020 presidential election. My voice is one of the first you hear on the audio transmission, so I did expect to get an interview sometime, meaning with the January 6th commission, but it didn't happen. I guess the focus was on Donald Trump. Despite pleas for help on Jan 6, Johnson said he did not hear anything, not even from Capitol Police Chief Assistant Yogi Onda Pittman, who allegedly kept vital information about the protests from him. The federal intel and law enforcement agency knew about the warnings of a massive disturbance coming on January 6th, but the frontline officers on duty that day did not. We should have been better prepared. We could have been better prepared if the information had been disseminated as it should have been. Johnson, whose role was to evacuate lawmakers safely, urged for guidance from his superiors but did not hear back. So he took matters into his own hand that day, as seen by footage released by Tucker from inside the Capitol. His career, however, came to a screeching halt after he was spotted outside the Capitol wearing a Make America Great Again hat, which received national attention. So here's even one of the cops saying it was a setup. And, you know, Christopher Wray, director of the FBI, won't admit how many FBI agents or assets were involved. I'll bet it was thousands, Dennis. I'm willing to go that far.
Oh, it's tens of thousands, not just merely thousands. I mean, the whole entire, you know, U.S. federal apparatus, I call it the fag oral apparatus, was completely aligned with keeping the existing malleable puppet in power. You know, and that was the whole goal here, is to psyop the American sheeple into this orange man bad thing, which is so irrational and so stupid. I mean, I'm not a Trump fan by any estimation. You know, let's get that straight right now. But you know what? Trump is being used once again, just like Marjorie Taylor Greene, I call her the pinata, to help take down truth, because she's a lightning rod that does nothing but cause mass derision focused on truth. And she stands up over and over again, even though she's recanted, and I have no use for her whatsoever, because I think she's completely fraud, just like this, I call him Pandrol, you know, Rand Paul, which is another faker, who confronts Anthony Fauci to enrich his coffers for his written campaign. When he has possession of the evidence, for David Martin's speech in front of the European Parliament, which you probably never watched, where he talks to the Parliament for a length of time and completely lays out the fact that all this biological weaponization of cooties to enable them to inject people with a deadly lethal poison dates all the way back to 1967. And there's a interview with David Martin in London, you know, with a London reporter, where he sits down and talks about every single step, all the documentation, with links to the documents that he cites that prove beyond a reasonable doubt that DOD, right now as we sit in our chairs, is getting ready to do another release of another bioweapon to enable even more deadly inoculation, kill even more people. Yeah.
Dennis, hold that thought. We'll be right back with Dennis Camino after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Boy, the line went dead. Can you hear me? All of a sudden, there's no audio. Can you hear me? Can you hear any of my... I think they took us off the air. It took me off the air.
Hey, Dennis. Now Jim's just running a minute late. He probably had to check in with his wife. No, I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, whatever.
But yeah, he sometimes gets tied up during the break, and you just continue where you were headed with where you were before the break, and we'll be okay.
Oh, do you want me to pick it up here and before he joins us again?
Sure. I mean, he might. You never know. It might be 3 minutes. It might be 2 minutes. It might be. You know, 5 minutes. We don't know.
Oh, I was going to mention the fact that this Brian Sicknick donut guard that allegedly croaked.
Yeah.
You know, as a result of stuff. He's a fabricator, a crisis actor. You know, immediately when somebody dies, you know, and this is how they get people out of the spotlight. The Mossad does this with the I call him Epkike, you know, who's sipping Mai Tais on the beach with Kenneth Lay, not dead. When you get removed from the picture because you're now allegedly deceased, that ceases any further effort to look for any more activity coming from that person. In other words, there's nobody out there to find Kenneth Lay. There's nobody out there to find Epstein. You know, they're not dead. You know, they never died. This fabricated donut guard, the Sicknick,
right.
never was a donut guard. They're all fake. You know, they're all created by Jaime Ratskin, as I call him. You know, this piece of, you know, kike scum and filth that wears a bandana now to make us feel sorry for him. You know, what happens when you're a putrefacted salamander that's finding your own level of slime? You start to de-evolve to the point where you no longer can continue to assume human form anymore. You know, that's what happens to these kikes when they fall apart, is that their eyeballs pop out and their guts come out of their rectum, and they start to turn into putrefacted green slime on the floor, you know, which is what they deserve to be anyway, because they never were humanoids in the first place. But the issue here is that there's so much fake, so much fabrication and outright foolery going on that today in the year 2023, it's almost impossible initially on any matter that we see on the Talmud Vision to make a cogent, sane judgment about what we've just seen, what we've been exposed to. Because all of these staged fake shootings, you know, are all completely fabricated. They've probably been done, put in the can months before they air them out to the public, just like that synagogue in New York where the people that lived in the neighborhood the day it went down were driving right by it. There was no police activity whatsoever, not one squad car, which meant that everything that they aired out was shot previously and put in the can to be released later, all staged. The same with the thing in New Zealand where they, if you look at the weapon that the guy fired, it was right. It was a first-person shooter video game, you know, with the markings identical on top of the weapon. So it was really just excerpted from that. You know, and the shell casings, when they hit the deck, hit the ground, they completely just disappeared. That's not what happens in reality. But they staged these things in such mass quantities that the cadence of the fakery is at such a fever pitch that the moron sheeple in this moron republic that we live in, their attention span is measured in nanoseconds. You know, they might see a flash on the screen, but 10 seconds later, you couldn't ask them what they just witnessed because they can't absorb it. But what they can absorb is this canard that's being floated to absolve all of them of their friggin' student loan debt, which they're focused on, to buy their votes in 2020. Probably won't work anyway because, you know, I'm going to make a bold prediction here that if Trump is allowed to run, he'll wipe the floor with this desiccated kite corpse. He really will. But then, like I said, the other side's going to claim overwhelmingly that that Republican operatives across the, you know, the earth all, you know, got in there and hacked voting machines and everything. And in reality, it's just like Rothschild said years ago. He goes, I don't count the votes. I care who controls the banks, and I control the banks. You know, I'm paraphrasing him. The voting system is a chimera. It's an illusion. You know, it gives everybody the warm, fuzzy feeling that they're touching something and making a change occur, when in fact it doesn't mean any of that. It's a charade. So not to completely make everybody completely forget about any possibility of return to something that would be even remotely democratic, which at this point isn't possible anyway, I'm going to point out right now that it doesn't matter what you do with a ballot, because the ballot you submit has nothing whatsoever to do with a number that appears on a computer somewhere. You know, and it's been like that for a very long time, even going back to JFK's election, where, in fact, the thing that put him over the top was the mafia rigged the voting in the Chicago region. To where it actually beat Nixon handily there, and that kind of caused the tsunami tidal wave that took Nixon out of the picture. Not saying that that it's a nuance. It's probably been going on ever since this sham of a republic allegedly got rid of the British, which we never really did. We stalemated with them. Basically signed a treaty that was a cessation of hotties. But the city of London still controls this country every bit today as it did back then under George, you know, and the moron sheeple here are too stupid to understand that the weird-shaped piece of turf in called Washington, D.C. isn't even U.S. territory, you know. It's not. It belongs to the city of London. That's not by accident.
I've been enjoying all this so much.
For all practical purposes.
I've been enjoying all this so much, I didn't want to intervene. But we do have more about January 6th. Jonathan Turley.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and pick.
Yeah. Jonathan Turley, who's a truly admirable constitutional expert, has a great question about the case against Trump. Jack Smith would need to bulldoze the First Amendment to convict. Attorney and law professor Jonathan Turley raised serious legal question about special counsel Jack Smith's path to convicting former President Donald Trump. In an op-ed published by The Hill, Turley warned the latest indictment of Trump relating to the January 6th Capitol riot threatens the First Amendment by giving the government unprecedented power to criminalize false statements. Trump was indicted earlier this week on 4 charges, including conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. He pled not guilty to all. Trump was not charged with conspiracy to incite violence or insurrection, Turley wrote. Rather, he was charged because he spread lies that there had been outcome determinative fraud in the election and that he had actually won, which I dare say is all completely true. In order to secure conviction for this, Special Counsel Smith would need to bulldoze through not just the First Amendment, but also existing case law holding that even false statements are protected. The government acknowledges that the Constitution protects false statements made in campaigns, but it insists that Trump must have known that his statements were false and therefore was engaged in fraudulent statements to obstruct or challenge electoral results. The legal expert noted the problem. If Trump actually did or does believe that he did not lose the election, and he's got every good reason to believe that, the indictment collapses. Adding, the indictment seeks to show that many people were telling Trump that his stolen election claims were false. Wow, you can't believe how many times I've been told, you know, people, their view, and they think, therefore, I must know that my view is wrong because it differs from their view. And just because they assert their view or have informed me of their view, I'm supposed to believe it? I'm sorry. That's for someone other than
you. Well, you know, the thing that matters in America the most, Jim, and I want to explain this to you, is that the shaping of the narrative is more important than the actual vote count. And the reason I say that is that if they can convince via the mainstream media, which is nothing more than a propaganda arm of the Central Intelligence Agency in every way, that they can get the malleable, stupid sheeple, the public, to conceivably believe a lie if they say it over and over again loud enough, that ultimately the facts and truth don't matter anymore because they've fallen way into the backfield. They're not even in the forefront anymore. So in retrospect, looking at the 2020 election, I call it the ripoff, it's pretty clear it doesn't matter that Trump probably, in all likelihood, overwhelmingly beat the holy dog snot out of this desiccated kike corpse. That's not relevant anymore. What is relevant is how the kikes have completely shaped the narrative to make Trump look like the quintessential bad guy, when in fact Trump's only crime was playing the game by the rules that the kikes set up for their side of it. You know, so I'm not a big fan of his under any circumstances, but I absolutely have no doubt in my ex-military mind that when you're playing, you know, when you have to play dirty, the rule book gets thrown away because you can rest assured that the other side isn't going to abide by any rules. They're just going to make up whatever rules they need to win the end of the day. You know, so I can't fault Trump and his campaign or any of the people that bent the rules to fight these kikes, because it's the only possible way they could win in a game that was rigged by the kikes in a way that it morphed and changed every microsecond of every day, to where anything that remotely came close to putting Trump in a favorable position was verboten, couldn't be said on mainstream media. And the narrative is shaped by the propaganda ministers. It has nothing whatsoever to do with reality. Go ahead and pick it up.
Yeah, no, that's all good, Dennis. Turley says he himself was one of those voices telling Trump his stolen election claims were false, which really distresses me. Turley surely should know better. This is ridiculous. Trump did not listen to me. Most legal analysts or even his White House counsel instead listened to a small group of lawyers who assured him that a challenge might succeed and that there was evidence of massive election fraud. They were right. Turley, most legal analysts and White House counsel were wrong. Trump, Turley acknowledges, has a freedom to seek enablers who tell him what he wants to hear. He argued even President Biden has done this, such as when he issued an executive order on an eviction moratorium based on a single law professor say-so to justify an obviously unconstitutional executive action later blocked by the Supreme Court. Turley also pointed Democrats such as Hillary Clinton and Jamie Raskin, whose speech was protected by the Constitution when they falsely claimed Trump's 2016 election victory was illegitimate. Even if Trump knew the claims he was making were false, however, it would still be controversial to link his claims to the actions of anyone who challenged the election. In United States versus Alvarez, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that it is unconstitutional to criminalize lies, which, of course, is just what Jack Smith has done. The 2012 case involved a politician who knowingly lied about his military decorations, but the high court prevented Congress from criminalizing lies about one's military service. So even assuming Smith could prove Trump lied, and frankly won't be able to do that because he sincerely believed it, and if you're asserting something you sincerely believe, you cannot be lying, there would still be constitutional barriers to criminalizing his false statements, assuming, of course, they were false. That is why the threshold constitutional claims in this indictment should be addressed by the court before it goes forward, meaning the court ought to review this and find it's notwithstanding constitutional scrutiny and give it the boot. Dennis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, what I started to see, and this is a pattern that started to evolve as some of the dust started to settle, is even William Barr, you know, came out and made statements that, you know, in a book, I guess, that he published, so he could garner even more shekels, just like the shekel grubbers that he sustained all his life. He was going down the path of, well, I took Trump aside, you know, and told him that he was being beaten because, you know, it was just plausible that he was just unpopular. You know, it took me a long time to come around to evolve into a position solidified by examining facts that Trump had no reason to believe that he had been beaten. You know, under any estimation, the popularity of this piece of desiccated kite crap that's in the whorehouse today couldn't possibly even come to even a 50 percentile level, let alone 81 million votes to get, you know. By the way, the voter turnout, it was remarkably low compared to who should have showed up anyway, but that's not relevant. What is relevant is that Trump, you know, whether he was delusional or what, he firmly believed that he had been beaten, not by legitimately being beaten, but beaten by chicanery and vote rigging, and he was right. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb where everybody that they'll crucify me for this, but I'm going to say 100% certainty, beyond any reasonable doubt, that Trump won the 2020 election unequivocally. Beyond any reasonable doubt, he won. But because of unbelievable amounts of ballot box, you know, loading and vote rigging, they stole it from him. It's not the first time this has happened. We've had it happen multiple times in history. But it was the most publicly contested election in recent times, only to be rivaled in the 24 thing that's going to happen next. But Trump had no figurative or constructive reason to be perjurative about his outcome with the election. He knew he won. And that's the only conclusion anyone can draw. And to try and put words in his mouth or try and make it look like he willingly lied is another Jew trick to get the public narrative to be shaped in a way that makes Orange Man bad again, which I'm not a fan of Trump, but Jesus Christ Almighty, they're crucifying him strictly because he's not the malleable puppet that they need to be in the whorehouse. He's just unpredictable enough for the Jews not to like him, and that's why they're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at his ass to keep him from running in 2024.
Yeah, I agree with all that, Dennis, and except, of course, I'm an enthusiast of Trump with qualifications, when the man is flawed, but I do believe he's the one figure in American politics who can do more to regain some stability and sanity to our government in the midst of all these efforts to destroy. I have another report here that the Space Force actually had massive evidence of the theft of the election right off the bat, but Trump believed that if it were revealed or released at the time, that could lead to civil war, and he withheld it. Frankly, if that is true, I think he ought to have released it then and had the fight at the time before the Biden admin got in to solidify its hold on the government, weaponize the DOJ and the FBI, open the borders, destroy our energy independence, unleash this, you know, flood of migrants. And I'm Dennis, I'm fascinated. I mean, look, hypothetically assume that Trump actually did get that 103 million, Biden 37. Would the Democrats want these millions of migrants to come in because they expect they're going to vote Democrat? I think it's more sinister than that, but could that be a motive?
No, I think the fundamental reason why they're letting the Beaners come across the border and everybody else come across the border is this is the final terminal phase of the Kalergi plan that's in operation right now. And what they're doing now is they're totally disintegrating society. And part of it's artificial, by the way, because, you know, ostensibly a lot of these Mexicans come over here and they actually are hard workers. But for every one Mexican that's a hard worker, there's three of them that are trafficking narcotics wearing a crucifix around their neck, like it's a badge of honor to kill people with dope and narcotics, fentanyl particularly. You know, but this fabricated in a way to demonize a particular group of people, such as the Hispanics and whoever else is coming across the border. They're doing exactly what the government wants. They're not here strictly to vote. That's the least of it. They control the vote no matter what, so they don't care about the vote. They're coming over here to completely shatter and destroy every last vestige of our society that may be left. And it's all being done because of the derision and the demonization of people that in some cases don't deserve it. But like I said, for every one Mexican that's over here working and holding down a legitimate job, there's three of them here selling narcotics and killing people, all by design. So I don't support it in any way. But I'm not pushing the jingoism that tells everybody to, obtusely hate everybody that's Mexican. That's ridiculous and stupid, and it's immature. But this is exactly what this kike-run government wants, to completely, totally destroy this country so that it can be completely subjugated and make everybody be under a socialism plan where you accept this central digital currency that the one world government's going to force on the whole planet. You know, this is what the kikes are up against such a wall because of a groundswell of awakening across the globe that they have no choice whatsoever but to overreach and push the tyranny to the maximum level that can possibly be amazingly conceived right now, to ensure that every single person on every continent is nothing more than a serf that's completely under control of an illegitimate Jew government that's run out of Brussels. That's what's going on here. That's the crux of it. It has nothing whatsoever to do with controlling the vote. It has everything to do with totally, utterly destroying America. That's what it's all about.
Yes. Yes, I have a hard time disagreeing with that. We're getting close to the break. I want everyone to know we are going to open the calls. I'm sure a lot of you would like to speak with Dennis about these issues. You're going to have your opportunity here today. Dennis, I don't know if you've paid much attention to the death of the chef of the Obamas on Martha's Vineyard, but here's my take. They had a anonymous caller from the Obama mansion reporting Sunday night that they'd seen this guy fall into the water and he hadn't resurfaced, described as being black on his paddleboard. When I look at the geography and so forth, I'm not at all sure you could even see him from there, but it would require binoculars. So why would someone in the Obama household have their binoculars on this paddleboarder? Turns out there's a second witness, also anonymous.
You know what I think it is, and I could be borne out to be completely wrong, but this is another psyop that they're running, you know, potentially could be true, but I think it's completely artificial. And what it does is it takes the spotlight off of the absolutely obtuse levels of criminality in the whorehouse right now and focuses it on this guy that died on a paddleboard, you know, and takes and creates another bone to be chewed by people that are looking for fault with that illegitimate turd that served before this jerk ended up in power. The guy that took us into this war in Ukraine in the first place by setting the stage for Maidan, not only in 2014, but going all the way back to the beginning of his misadministration that the CIA created. So this thing that's going on with this paddleboarder looks more like a psyop and a diversionary tactic. But like I said, I could be wrong. It could be based on fact.
Dennis, yeah, we disagree on this one. I've spent a fair amount of time on it. No, the guy really was killed. And the ironic aspect, I think it was Obama. He's got this history of sexual harassment of men. This was a good-looking guy. He was married with a couple of kids. I think Obama came on to him, and he didn't want to play. Obama turns up the next day on a golf course. He got cuts on his left hand. He's got a black eye. I think the other paddleboarder was Obama delivering the body that Michelle made the phone call to try to make it look as though he was alive at a time he was already dead. I mean, and get this, the state police are covering it up. They still won't identify who it was, even though they've declared it to be an accident. Guess what? They lost the blood sample. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is a massive cover-up. It far exceeds Chappaquiddick, which I believe Teddy didn't even know that Mary Jo Kopechne was in the back seat. But listen, we'll open that up to calls when we get back from the break. 540-352-4452. Dennis Camino and me. Call in.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, our first caller today is Bruce in Texas. Bruce, give us your thoughts.
Hey, yeah, great show, and Cirino never fails to impress me. Am I coming through all right?
Yes.
Oh yeah, you're loud and clear.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, are y'all using Skype, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah, some years ago when I was listening to Kevin Barrett, he had on Nicholas Kallstrom, the author. He did the 7/7 bombings there in London.
He's a good friend of mine. Yeah.
Yeah, have him on one day. And anyhow, when they got to the topic of the Holocaust, the same thing happened. Just massive interference, calls dropped, recalling, calls dropped. So it doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah,
but I want to touch on the cook there over there with Obama.
Martha's Vineyard.
I mean, Obama shows up with Martha's Vineyard. Now, I didn't hear the whole conversation on that topic, so if I'm going over material you already said, then just stop me. But Barack Obama had a cut on his hand and a black eye afterwards, and this guy's a cook. So, put two and two together, they're probably lovers, or he made advances on them, or they had a lover's quarrel there in the kitchen, and the cook picked up a knife, and either Secret Service intervened, or maybe even Big Mike himself, punched him out, killed him. And what do we do with the body? Well, we'll just make a, an accident scene, take him out to the water, and then make a 911 call. And there's no video evidence, there's no surveillance at Obama's house. It's like the pipe bomb, or we can't figure out who dropped off the pipe bomb in January 6th. It's absurd. We can't figure out who dropped the cocaine in the White House.
I know.
And Joe is right.
I know.
Oh yeah.
This is a corrupt Jew shithole.
I think that Jim's probably really right on this one. That Big Mike was packing O'Negro's fudge, and then Big Mike got probably more action going there, and the other guy that was on the other end of Obama, feeding Obama some sausage, got on the bad side of the two of them, and then had to be murdered, and then dumped out in the water,
something like that,
like a drowning. But there's a picture of Big Mike with Obama's, I call him O'Negro's, arm around him. When he was a man, before he pretended he was a female, but 90% of this country, the dino craps, or the dino rats, as Jim calls them, same thing, or demon rats, they won't believe it for a split second that faggot, O'Negro has been a fag every minute of his life, probably all the way back to his childhood.
Going back to his childhood, his nanny was a tranny.
His
tranny.
His brother knows he's a fag. His brother knew he was a fag. His brother openly calls him a fag. I mean, not saying that's here nor there, but he could get away with, he could kill 100 people in Martha's Vineyard, and they'd find some kind of excuse, but being that he's actually got a cut on his head and a black eye, that pretty much tells the story. Unless he paid somebody to beat him, I think there was a bug tussle there, and it got out of hand, and they had to put him out to the beach. But wait, I'm glad you called in. Go ahead and elaborate more if you would.
Well, Obama.
I think you guys are both on the right track. By the way, I think this is exactly right. And the Edgartown police, by not releasing the identity of the caller or the
second paddle boater. Roger Stone's looked into this, by the way, and it turns out the water 100 feet from the shore where allegedly he drowned is only 3 feet deep. There were original stories he couldn't swim, but we have video that he was actually a proficient swimmer. The whole narrative is just riddled with holes, and then they lose the blood sample. Give me a break. Bruce.
Yeah, you know, Webb.
It conveniently happened. It happened at a good time, you know, to take the spotlight off of the whorehouse. But it sounds like it really happened. So I'm gonna go down that road. You guys, I think are right.
I guarantee it did really happen. But I also agree it might distract. Except Obama's a much bigger figure in the minds of Democrats, Dennis, than Biden. So, I mean, something that tarnishes Obama actually hits harder and deeper than anything affecting Biden. They all know Biden is a nobody, a non-entity, and that he's merely a puppet, actually a puppet for Obama.
Yeah, that's ostensibly a sword swallowing. I mean, let's get real. I'm not saying that Republicans aren't either, but most of the Dinocrats that I've known in my life, they would rather slurp on a noodle than have heterosexual sex. That's how they're wired.
That's ridiculous. Isn't that incredible? Hey, Bruce, go ahead. Give us more.
Well, yeah, look at Gary Webb there in San Jose, California. He exposed CIA cocaine smuggling into Los Angeles, starts to crack at the epidemic, and he shoots himself twice in the head. Vince Foster, who was left-handed, allegedly killed himself with a gun in the right hand there in D.C. What was the name of that guy in Building 7, the one that heard bombs going off?
He's Barry Jennings.
How about the Oklahoma City cop who was fighting it with the FBI, and he said he had material to show there was an inside job, and he ends up going into a field and killing himself, too. I mean, they can murder, they can cover it up, and that's the criminal state that we live in. And if I had the money, I'd get the hell out, because I don't really see any solution to this. I really don't.
Oh, no, this is only going to get worse. And there was a guy named Danny Casolaro who exposed the InsLaw thing at the Department of Justice, where they pirated software, and they met with him in a motel room, and they killed him in a bathtub and got away with it. And of course, they declared it a suicide. But the trail of murder, you know, in this country that gets covered up is so huge that if they could ever write a book about, I call it Jumerica, it should be called Murder Incorporated. They should rename the country to that.
Right, if you have another caller, I'll hold on.
No, you're doing great. Here's a nice tweet, by the way.
Thank you for your call, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, here's a nice tweet.
I was thinking of Bruce's call.
Bruce can stick around. Here's a nice tweet from Andrew Bridge, and he says, it's really strange times at the moment. An illegal server was found at Hillary's house. A male prostitute was found at Pelosi's house. Cocaine was found at Biden's house. A dead body was found at Obama's house. And the FBI raided Trump's house? That's just how it goes. Every time something bad happens to a Democrat, really serious, they do something spectacular with Trump to distract, just as you're describing, Dennis.
Oh, yeah, it's like I call him Jaime Ratskin, you know, the bandana man, de-evolving back to a salamander man. Between him and Adam Schiffless, and these other scum that are in the Dinocrat party that are in control right now, they're so feckless and so out of control that they don't fear any kind of electoral process to dislodge them. They control everything. I mean, how the hell is anybody going to dislodge a crime syndicate? You can't get rid of that. It's deep down in the bone marrow of this country. And the sheeple are so ignorant, they'll just accept it. They'll bleat and everything, but they'll accept it. You can see what a faggot and a Negro was, you know, a sword swallower all the way back to age 5 probably, and getting his fudge packed by Big Mike probably for at least 30 years. you know, and then commits murder and nothing happens to him. But yet again, Trump gets indicted 47 friggin' times, as I exaggerate. But they probably haven't got enough indictment or ink for the indictments for Trump. But yet there'll never be a word out about the criminality on the other side of the.
I think 47 is probably pretty close to the right number, Dennis. I think you're on top of it.
Maybe it's 50. I mean, it's a ridiculous. Lot.
And mind you, they're going to bring
more. You know,
the
force majeure.
Yeah. The indictment de jure.
Yeah, the force majeure against America right now is so overwhelming that we're beyond salvation. We cannot be saved.
Yeah.
Go ahead, though.
Bruce, further thoughts?
Yeah, over in Niger, they've had that change of government. It's a coup, but it seems to be like most of the people support the coup because all these democratic, quote unquote, democratic countries that the World Economic Forum, et cetera, backs up, they're corrupt. They fix the elections or they pay people to vote, and then they extract their natural resources by the billions, by the trillions, and then they give them all some foreign aid. Some rice, you know, to feed the people after they robbed them blind. And Victoria Newman just came back from Niger, and she said she didn't have good luck with them. But they should have grabbed her and boiled her and rendered her fat. You know what I mean? That bitch. You know, her husband, Robert Kagan, was the co-founder of the Project for the New American Century. I'm sure you guys know all about that one.
Oh, yeah. You know, the cookies that she took to Maidan in 2014 with a narcotic that she developed to make people go barking at it and become complete raving lunatics. That was what was in the cookies. And they dispersed water that had the same chemical drug in it that made everybody go batshit crazy. Did you know about that?
I read about that. I wouldn't doubt it. The Russian soldiers that found the
name.
Meth and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the drug. I should have written it down so I could reference it. But the drug is known. I developed it as part of the MK program to make people do whatever you tell them to do. That's how they got the Maidan coup to happen.
Yeah, Paul's here and wants to weigh in. Paul's here and wants to weigh in on one or another issue. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, just for the heck of it, I thought I'd let you know. I just sent you by email Miles Mathis' paper on the Obama chef thing. It's only 5 pages. And it's quite a few photos, actually, so it's very quick. So it's highly suspect. There's a lot of fakery. One of the things that when you get familiar with Mathis and his papers is he'll do quite a bit of photographic analysis. He puts up photos. He says, okay, this is a fake or this is a paste-up or this is Photoshop. And sometimes you can see it, you know, easier than other times. Other times you kind of go, okay, you just got to take his word for it because you might not – you know, be as expert as he claims to be. But when you see these photos and you read the write-up, you're going to be highly suspicious of this whole Obama chef thing, which is probably just more theater.
Likewise,
I'm almost done at this sentence. Because, you know, Jim, you're king of outing fake news. So the other thing, he wrote a paper about the Trump indictments all being theater, and so you're probably on the same page as that. You know, they don't make any legal sense for the most part, and they're obviously just a distraction. Go on.
Let me tell you, let me give you the overarching reason why I do not believe this is fake. It invites attention to all the most sordid aspect of Barack Obama's life. It takes you back to sexual harassment complaints brought against him when he was the editor of the Harvard Law Review, 2 complaints from members of the board. They settled for 5 figures, but they had to leave the board. A third has come forward. The whole history of his relationship with not only Michelle, but Rahm Emanuel, where they had a tour affair in Washington, where Michelle has been very jealous.
Okay.
She got rid of a bodyguard by the name of Reggie Love that Obama used to call his body man. And then she had Rahm Emanuel sent back to Chicago. Paul, no,
okay.
I'm telling you, there would be every.
Paul's making a good point in the fact that there's so much fakery and shit sprung on us the other side does, though, and it's not out of the question for them to do it, is they'll generate the fakery to create even more subterfuge. You know, they'll generate the fake, photography and throw it out there.
Okay, so, and here's the point we're going to make it. So, Jim, okay, I kind of knew you would probably do a little narrative on the whole thing like you normally would do, and that's fine, but it's got nothing to do with what I just said. And whether or not you believe it's fake or you believe it's not fake, that is absolutely, shall we say, irrelevant based upon when you just look, like you always say, look at the evidence, look at what's presented. The other thing I would say is that these people do not care. I think Dennis has made it quite clear that they don't give a damn about what we think or what we know, to be honest with you. And they've called attention to so many sordid things about so many different politicians and so many key figures. And in many ways, it's kind of like throwing it in our face. So, you know, to be honest with you, saying that it's because it calls attention to all these sordid aspects of Obama, therefore likely it's real, I don't buy that at all. So that's my two cents on it anyway.
You're free to have a divergent opinion, Paul. I mean, this is not the first time. But I'm telling you, I think if they're going to fake something, this is the last sort of thing they'd want to fake. This is
Paul's making a good point in the sense that they so much of this crap is out there. If it draws your attention away from the main event in any way, make, or form, they won. No matter how it works out. So Paul's right. I'm not saying that this happened or didn't happen. Paul is making a point that is absolutely 100% correct. You know, he's right.
And I'm not.
Dennis. I agree completely.
Okay, let me just add, God damn.
I don't know enough about it to say if it was fake or not, but the assertion that they could fake it is entirely right on target. I mean,
who doubts that they could fake it? I'm telling you, this is not fake for good reason.
God damn it. You don't know what's fake or not, Jim. You haven't seen the paper. All I'm trying to say is, look, take a look at it if you want, but don't get on here and tell me what you know.
Effing Christ, I've already downloaded it, Paul. You can wrap it up and stuff it up your ass. You get so arrogant, it just drives me up the wall.
I can't even get across.
Paul, drop him. Get the hell out of here. To hell with Paul. You just go way over the edge. Dennis, look, it's perfectly right that they could do something to distract. I'm telling you, if you're going to have something to distract, this is not what you want to do to distract. It's too sordid. And it's too close to the truth about exposing Obama and Michelle as total phonies and frauds.
Oh, but the thing is that they've been the idiot morons in this country put up with that shit for 8 years. So why would it matter now? If you have an openly gay person in the whorehouse getting his fudge packed every day, what difference does it make today?
Dennis, most Americans have no idea Obama's gay or Michelle's a tranny. Johnny, come on in. Join the fray. Johnny. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, if I may lay on some clarity, hey, I like both of you guys, both Paul and James. You guys both make good statements. I just wish you would refrain from arguing with each other because it kind of destroys everything you're standing on. And you guys are doing a great job, but let's just stay focused because you guys are on point, both of you. But I would just want to point out, how can any of this be legitimate when they are holding the court on land that don't belong to the United States called the District of British Columbia? I mean, we got to stop. Why don't they have it here in the United States in a regular court system? Because it is a stage setup thing just to trick everybody. Look, until we address the fact that the District of Columbia that is owned by England runs this country, we're always going to be being the monkey in the middle, and they're going to be playing hot potato, throwing it back and forth, laughing at us, you know. And I just don't know how people can constantly ignore that fact. The District of Columbia is not part of the United States, and they're having court hearings on there for somebody.
I brought that up at the beginning of the show. That it's not America.
That's a rigged gig.
It's not America.
That's correct.
It's not America.
That's the government that in our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence says that we can remove them if we feel necessary. That's the government they were talking about. The Queen's government that is supposed to oversee what our state government's doing. The states created the Fed. The Fed didn't create the states. It's time that, you know, we really started hammering that and pointing out how everything they're doing is illegitimate because we know the laws of this land and its constitutional laws. And so let's just discard all the stuff they're doing and not play their game. That way we don't get played. And hey, you guys, I'm telling you, you guys are really doing a good job because you're hammering on all cylinders. And I love all you guys. Hey, whether we agree or disagree, we're still talking about the right stuff. And we are men that need to come forward at this time. And that's what's most important. I commend all of you. Thank you very much.
Sure,
thank
Johnny.
Thank you for your call.
I'm looking at the photos Miles Mathis has. Now, he did this just the day after, and it does appear some of these photos are fake. But, I mean, look, I've been following this for 2 effing weeks now, and I'm telling you, it all adds up to a real death and a real sordid situation, and the Obamas, by God, do not want this to come out. I'm going to look at more of this, but I'm telling you, there's a story here that is very straightforward of of Barack being infatuated with this guy and wanting to have sex. And if he didn't want to play, I think that's what happened. Dennis, you talked about the knife cutting his hand, defending himself. They had to dispose of the body at all fits. You got the Edgartown police involved in this. You got the Massachusetts police in this. They're losing blood samples. They're not identifying witnesses, even after it's been declared to be an accident. And, you know, I am intrigued, of course, by Miles Mathis. And Paul places heavy emphasis on his work. And I suspect a couple of these photographs are fake. But the fact these photos are fake does not mean that this wasn't a real deal that took place on Martha's Vineyard. And Paul, you know, what can I say? We cross swords every now and then where you get real upset because I don't want you talking over other people. And this time, no doubt you thought I was talking over you. There it is. Dennis, your thoughts.
But Jim, the kikes know very well how to poison a well, you know, dump a bunch of fabricated or doctored photographs into a bunch of truth. And what does it do? It destroys the truth. That's what they do every fucking time. They do it over and over again. So it's not out of the question that they intentionally created the fake photographs to completely diffuse the whole thing and make it look like it's all just fakery. See, that's how they work. That's how kikes work.
Well, then in that case, Miles is fulfilling that of trying to debunk it all. I think this was a real amateur job. Michelle even sent out a birthday card to Barack, and he's got a real somber look on his face, unlike any photograph I've ever seen of him. The point is that it draws so much attention to the Obamas that leads to exposure of their corrupt past. This is the last thing they'd want, especially when the Democrat Party, I'm convinced, Roger Stone has suggested they're going to run Michelle for president. I think they're going to run her for vice president with Gavin Newsom. The last thing they want is to have this woman they think is most popular in America to be tarnished, and by God, she is tarnished. Or for the public
it's not a woman, Jim. It's a man. It's got more junk in his legs than you or I got combined.
Dennis, I've done a huge amount of exposing her as a tranny. That's exactly my point. They don't want the world to catch on, for crying out loud. Who's
well,
there?
Of course not. But you know what? The demon rats, the dinocrats don't give a shit. They love that faggot crap. They love it. You know what? If they openly came out and said it was a tranny, that would get them 50,000 or 50 million more votes in the dinocrat world. They love trannies.
I would like to comment on that, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe that Big Mike is going to give it a run. I've been getting a lot of messages and signs from a lot of things. And I think they're going to do the same thing. I think Joe was the dry run test for the stage to be set with Big Mike. And if you don't vote for Big Mike, Dominion will do it for you. And, it is crazy. And it's hard to tell with these people, but can we agree on this? that those all these people that work in the District of Columbia, boy, they're getting sloppy. If you notice that, they're dropping the ball. They're not as clean as they used to be, you know, in covering up all their tracks. They are getting super sloppy, and I think they're so arrogant and high on their own dope. That's why they're making all these mistakes. And it was written that in the dark, lightness shall be shine on the darkness near the end. And I just don't think these people stand a chance. And I think they know their time is short as well. And that's why they're getting sloppier and sloppier, because they're hurrying and they're in a rush and they can't do everything precisely because they're not doing the right stuff. So they have a lot of errors and compiled errors, and that's why they look so darn sloppy. And they just don't care. And they are clearly operating in a sloppy, open mode.
Yeah. The reason why they don't care is that the American people have the discernment of belly button wind. They can't see shit from Shinola. They don't give a fuck. They're going to play Lola at the inauguration ball for Big Mike. You know, that'll be the music they'll dance to, and the Dinocrats will love it. They'll be up in arms, prancing around and shaking their dongs at each other and having a good old party, because that's the way
it's
they
gonna
roll.
It's going to be a pathetic showing. A pathetic showing, it will be.
It's going to be disgusting, but we'll be able to laugh.
Hey, thanks, you guys. You guys are doing great. I'm glad to hear you guys, you know,
well,
got your head tuned up. And thank you, guys. You guys have a great
Johnny,
day.
And Bruce and Paul, too. Even when Paul and I have a disagreement, it's almost always somehow illuminating one way or another. Dennis, you get the final words today.
You know, going back to this, you know, Paul was right in the way that he was laying a spotlight on the fact, you know, indirectly, whether he intended it or not, but he was right in the sense of he's pointing out the fact that they well poison. They throw crap out there that makes everything become invalid after they do that.
Dennis is just great.
Back on the air, Mike.
Anyway, it was a good show.
Thank you,
guys.
You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take.
But as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their